Today we're going to be talking about worry. Just a show of hands, I'm curious. How many of you this past week spent some time worrying? All right, that's why we're talking about honesty earlier, you know, right? We're going to look at what Jesus has to say about worrying and why we should not worry. So here are three questions that we're going to want to answer. And not because I think so or not because you think so, but because of what Jesus himself taught. So, first question is, what does it mean to worry? Biblically, what does it mean to worry? I just want you to take a second, just think about that in your mind. What does it mean to worry? Second, why should I not worry? Why should I not worry? And then I think the most important question, how can I keep from being worried? You know, sometimes you come, you hear a sermon, you're like, that's awesome. And then it's like, now how do I apply that? All right. So Jesus is going to tell us how to keep from worrying. But before we jump right into the scripture, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we'll turn to our text. And it's a great text. I learned so much from studying it, so I know you guys will too. Let's bow and close our eyes. Father, I just pray today as I stand here, just with my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you'll work through each of us, Lord. Give me the words to say. Speak through me, Father. Let it not be my words, but yours. And also for everyone out there, Father, just bless them. Open up their hearts and their eyes so they can see the truth in this passage, Lord. Just reveal it to them as these words are spoken, Father. We truly just want to get closer to you, Father, and love you more. So, Lord, we just ask you that today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's turn to Matthew 6, verses 25. Matthew chapter 6, 25. Don't get lazy on me. I know we got the PowerPoint up there, and most of the young guys, I know, we just rely on PowerPoint, but let's get out our Bibles and look that up. All right. And actually, we're going to read this in a moment. I just want to give you a tiny bit of background. In the couple verses before, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and to his disciples. And he was talking about true wealth. What is true wealth? He says it's when you trust in him and you lay up those treasures in heaven. So he said, give alms to the poor, help the needy. That is true wealth. And once you have that, it's in heaven with him. And then Jesus went on to say, you cannot serve God and money. You can only have one master. So then he ends by saying, where your heart is, where your money is, where your money is where your heart is. And I just want you to think about that. So he was saying, if you trust God with your money, you're not going to have to worry. You're just not going to have to worry. And that's the background to this context. Let's look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus opens with a very interesting question. He's saying, you guys are always worried about what you will eat, what you will wear, but there's more to life than that. So we're going to start by defining the word worry, the word worry. The word worry means to rip apart. It's a very graphic word. It means just to tear, to push, going against the grain. It's fighting. And as I'm a very graphic person in my mind, some of you guys are very logical. If you have an outline, you're like, that's all I need. For me, I need to see something. I need a graph. I need something like that. And when I think of the word worry and ripped apart, it brought back the illustration of back in Jesus' time, what they would do to prisoners or people who they wanted information from is they would tie each limb to a horse. And they would tell that person, give me the information I want, or I will scream and the horses will run in different directions, and they would literally rip your body apart. A very graphic and bad way to die. Painful, too, I would say. And that's the idea of worry. to be ripped apart, to be pulled in different directions at the same time. What does worry do to you as a Christian? What does worry do to you? We know it rips you apart, but let's look at it. And here's a little pie chart I put together for you guys. Finance people, be thankful, all right? A Christian's heart. Imagine that's your heart you see right there. And some of the properties of your heart. First, you have faith in God. Just faith. You hope in his promises. You say, okay, Jesus is coming back. I know it. You know, I can go through the day if I pray God hears me. You hope in his promises and you trust in his words. Hopefully that's what all of our hearts look like right now. You have faith, hope, and trust. But then something called worry comes along. Let's just take a second. I just want you to think about something you've been worrying about. And I want you to place that where that arrow is. Place that worry that's in your mind into that arrow and say, that's what I'm worrying about. Make it personal. God speaks to each of us. What does worry do to your faith? It just breaks it apart. That's the definition. It tears it apart. It just pulls the heart apart. And you start to worry. You think, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? How can I get out of this problem? And what does it do to you? First, you lose faith and you lose perspective. At first, you had faith in God. You knew he was going to be there for you. But then you start losing perspective because you start saying, God can't answer my problem. How can I answer my problem? You become hopeless and confused. You just don't know where to run. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do because this worry just has a grip on your soul. Third, you don't know who to trust. You don't know where to turn. Since you're not going to God in prayer about this issue, you're like, where can I go? Do I go to accounts? Who do I go to? Where do I go? And you start to panic. That's what worry does to a Christian. It breaks you apart. And one of Jesus' main points, and this is what I really want you guys to see, if you can take one thing away from a message, this is one thing I really want you to get. Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. What do you see up there on the screen? Someone just shout it out. A horse. And what is it doing? All right. It's like worry. It tears you apart. So don't worry. That's how Jesus starts. You know, worry is a lot like water and oil. Water and oil. What happens when you try to put water and oil together? Very good. All our high school students know over there. All right. They separate. All right. It's just like faith and worry. They can't go together. Because either you're praying, God, you can solve my problem, as Jesus is saying here. You have the ability, you have the power to provide for me. Or you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. How can I fix this problem? What can I do? So we're going to see that Jesus is making a main point that faith and worry cannot work hand in hand. They're total opposites. So when you are worrying, you need to step back and say, am I showing faith? And I will guarantee you you're not. And then that will help you to stop worrying. But let's just keep continuing. Matthew 6:25. Let's read it again. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on it. Jesus asks a question, and he's expecting a yes answer. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He's basically saying, how shallow are you people? Where is your faith? Do you really think that's all there is to life? Well, my generation, all we care about basically is what shoes you have on your feet. And if you have a good pair of shoes, then you're cool with your friends. I grew up with that. You get the latest Jordans, you go, you beat everyone to the store, you put them on, and then all of a sudden you're somebody. And Jesus is saying, why are you so worried about your clothing? Why are you so worried about food? There's so much more to life than just that. And we're going to see what else Jesus says. Harry Ward Beecher, he wrote a very good quotes. I love quotes. All right, so you're going to see some of them through the sermon. Every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it by the handle of anxiety or by the handle of faith. How are you going to reach your day? Are you going to reach it with worry and say, I can't do it, I don't know what to do? Are you going to reach out with faith? You can use one or the other. You can't use both. Being the kind of person that I am, I like to have what I call a progression of thought when I look at the passage. What is the thought moving through the passage that Jesus is trying to communicate to us? He starts by saying, don't worry. Life is more than food or clothing. Do you guys see some question marks over there? We're going to answer those, so don't worry about that. All right. Get the pun? All right, never mind. But don't worry. Life is more than food or clothing. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and are you of not more value than they? Jesus is making a simple example. He's saying, look at the birds. Do I provide for them? Are they fed? How many birds do you see flying around just falling out of the sky dying of hunger? How many animals do you see that are just starving everywhere? And Jesus is making the point, if my Father cares for the simple little bird, don't you think I care more about you than that little bird? And he's saying, why are you guys worried about food? You know, I found something profound as I was studying this passage. In Luke 12 is a parallel passage. And it says that this bird is actually the raven, which is pretty cool imagery. You're thinking, look here. Look at the ravens in the sky. Look at them. I provide for them. Won't I provide for you? And I just kind of want to transport you back into time then. Maybe to the Sea of Galilee, maybe the plain where Jesus was talking. And you have to imagine his disciples are there. They're tired. They're men, fishermen, hardworking men. Their hands probably blistered from working. And they're all standing there. And Jesus looks up and he says, look at the ravens. And these guys who are sunburned and tired look up and they see the ravens. And Jesus says, don't you know, I love you more than them. But then he goes on to say, look at this. He looks at Peter, probably. I picture him with the red skin from the sunburn. And he says, Peter, I love you, the red skin, more than the raven.
Amen.
All right. You get my drift there. All right. So it's biblical. God loves us, the Redskins, more than the Ravens. All right. I just had to clear that up from a theological standpoint. All right. But getting back, Jesus says, look at these birds. And we could say dumb birds. But look at these birds and how I provide for them. And then he asked the question, are you not of more value than they? The point is, why do we worry? Why do we worry about food? If God provides for animals, he will provide for us who are made in his own image. I like what he goes on to say next. Jesus, he's funny. He uses sarcasm and some comedy from time to time. And, you know, it's from 2,000 years ago, so a lot of times we miss it. But I love what he says here. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, there's two ways you can take this. You can say either someone sits there and says, I want to grow, I want to grow, I want to grow. It's not going to happen, all right? Or you can also take it from the text as saying, just because you worry doesn't mean you'll live longer. You know, I want to live another day, I want to live another day, I want to live another day. When your time to die comes, brother, you're dying, all right? All the worrying in the world is not going to make you live longer. Look at this verse, Matthew 5:36. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 5:36. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. As humans, we are so weak that we cannot will our hair to change color. And I bet all you women wish you could. I bet you wish you could say, I want to be blonde today. You know, then it happens. But you can't. So Jesus is looking and saying, if you can't do the simplest thing, changing the color of your hair, if you can't simply add a day to your life by speaking the words, why don't you trust me? If I'm the sovereign God who placed every hair on your head, why do you not take that worry to me in prayer? But yet you, in your weakness, who can't do anything, keep worrying and saying, how can I fix this problem? So Jesus is making the point that worry cannot fix your problems. Only faith in God can. I want to add this. George Mueller, a great Christian man. If you ever have time, read about him. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And I want you to think about what you're dealing with in your life. Plug it in there. My worry of something, something, something is killing my faith. Or my true faith will kill this worry. And just think about that. How powerful our God is. Matthew 5, let's continue progression of thought. Life is more than food or clothing. That's how Jesus starts his sermon. And then he starts by saying, God provides food for you. So his first point is, God provides food for you. So don't worry. So he says, look at the birds. God provides for them, will provide for you. He goes on to say, Matthew 5, 28 through 30. Go ahead and read along as I read this. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, that's kind of like he's just getting right to the point. He's saying, learn from creation. All of us, most of us here today at least, we're city people. We don't learn much from nature, all right? We're used to concrete, tall buildings, and maybe some pigeons we see down at the park, and that's about it, you know? But yet, we need to take some time and learn from creation. When was the last time you ever really just studied creation? I loved it before Dan and Josh moved out of the house. I had a room, and my room had a window. And I loved that room. I could see two things. I was in the second story, and I could see a stop sign. So nights when I couldn't sleep, I just count all the cars that run the stop sign. And it's very true. And then also, when all the leaves would fall off the tree, you could look out, and the view was amazing. And it got to the point that I could actually tell time by the placement of the moon just because I would stare out the window. So I'd wake up, see the moon over here. Okay, I got 2 more hours, then go back to bed. But we can learn from creation. If that moon moves like that, if those birds are fed, if those flowers are taken care of, why do we think God will not take care of us? If he takes care of simple things, we who are made in his image will be taken care of. So Jesus asked this question. Well, let's not get to his question. Let's get something else. God will provide for us. If God provides a clothing for a flower which will be burnt. Back in those days, they would take the flowers and use them as a fuel. How much more will he provide for you? There's no need to worry. So Jesus is saying, I will provide for you. I will provide for you food. I will provide for you clothing. I did a study on Solomon, and he had $25 billion. $25 billion. He was a pretty rich guy. And yet all his clothing could not be as beautiful as the lily, which is simply burnt and used as fuel. So Jesus is drawing the connection. If Solomon, the richest man, could not even buy clothes that were as nice as the flowers which will be burnt, how much more will God provide for you? It's an awesome thought. So Jesus asked this question. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I always love how Jesus kind of throws in those little, I don't want to call them jabs, but, oh, you of little faith, you know, you can see, maybe with a snicker, maybe sarcasm, maybe just shaking his head saying, why don't you people get it? But he looked, and he was saying, why do you worry? Where's your faith? And that's what we as Christians need to do for each other. When we see another Christian worrying, we need to kind of look at them and say, Where's your faith? If you have faith, you're not going to worry. But if you worry, it shows your faith is small. So Jesus makes the point, no need to worry. God will provide food. God will provide us with clothing. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to provide us with gourmet meals, amazing suits and stuff, but it's just saying that God will meet our needs. And as I look at each of you today, I can tell he's met each of your needs. And it's an amazing thought, just how our God provides. Tiffany Berry said, if you're going to worry, there's no need to pray. And if you're going to pray, there's no need to worry. Once again, just see the opposite. I really just want to drill into your mind what Jesus is saying, how faith and worry are enemies of each other. You cannot have both together. So let's get to a progression of thought. First, don't worry. Simple statement. Two, God provides food. I see all of you, I haven't heard any stomachs growling yet, but I know God's going to provide lunch for you guys. Three, God provides clothing. So he's making his point. God provides food, God provides clothing, but he's going to go a little farther. And let's see what Jesus says in verse 31 through 32. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, the funny thing about worrying is we're saying God doesn't know my needs. We're saying God can't read my thought process and see what I'm struggling with. Worry is like a big cycle. You just say, I'm worried, I'm worried, I'm worried. And where does it get you? Absolutely nowhere. But yet faith in God, we're told, can move mountains. It can change the world. So what power are you going to harness? The worry wheel keeps going around and around and around. Or faith, where you just bring it to God and God does it. You see, the unsaved, they worry. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the powerful God. So when they have issues, maybe an issue with their family, maybe issue with money, maybe issues with relationship, what do? They worry. They don't know what to do. They have to try to find the best counsel they can find. They try to work it out through their mind, and they worry, worry, worry. Whereas Christians, we can take it to God in prayer and say, God, please help me with this issue. And he will hear us. I love this verse, Philippians 4:19. I bet many of you know this one. And my God, I love that, my God, not just some random God in the sky who made us and then went away somewhere, no. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply your needs. And I don't want to beat this horse to death, but don't worry. All right, God's going to supply your needs. I have another little chart for you guys I want you to look at. Faith versus worry. The fact is God can provide. It's a fact. No question, God will provide. So you can say, God can provide, and for all you math students, plus I know he will equals faith. God will provide, it's a fact. In your mind, your heart, you say, I know he will. And God looks at that and said, that's faith, because you trust me. Or you can say, God can provide, because it's a fact, just a way of life, but I worry that he won't. And what does that equal? That equals sin, because it's unbelief. It's you're saying God's not big enough. Then you put yourself up as the idol, because you think you can solve the problem by using your own brain power. I want you to think of that this week. I want you to think of that when you're about to worry. Do I have faith? Or do I just have worry? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what we shall wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. And Jesus says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. This brings us to another thought of progression. Don't worry. God provides food. God provides clothing. And why worry when God provides? God will provide. So why worry? It's kind of like, you know, if you're promised a date, all right, and they say, I'll meet you at 7. And you sit around saying, I hope they come at 7. I hope they come at 7. I hope they come at 7. What does that help you? It doesn't. Just makes you a mess and doesn't give you enough time to comb your hair. All right? You won't be ready. And what does worry help you? None. And our God, we can have faith in because he provides. How does he provide? He provides food for the animals, clothing for all of his creation, and he will supply our needs. So why worry when God will provide? We're almost through here. Let's look at verse 33 through 34. And this is the heart. This is really the main point Jesus is trying to make. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me ask you, what are we seeking here? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right. And all these things shall be added to you. They said all these things might be added to you. All these things might be if you're a good person. No, all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this is kind of where we get to the heart, when you get to the core of the issue of worrying. Jesus' issue, if you were going to see Jesus for a counseling appointment, he would simply say, seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Jesus says, do not worry about food or clothing. Don't worry about those things. Seek the kingdom. When we seek the kingdom of God, when we give to the poor, when we see a need, we see the need, identify the need, and help meet that need. When we see brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering and we help them, we are seeking the kingdom. And God says when we seek the kingdom and his righteousness, when we obey what he says, God will provide our needs. That's awesome. That's really an awesome thought. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about where you're getting your next meal. You don't have to worry about if you're going to go cold this winter. God's going to provide for you. It's right there. He will provide for you. And this is what Jesus' conclusion is. True faith kills all worry. And with true faith, you will stop seeking your own kingdom, which is filled with worries and cares, and seek God's kingdom. As you get older, you buy stuff, get more and more and more stuff, and that more and more and more stuff starts to break down. And when it breaks down, you have to repair that stuff. Any adult here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Cars, homes, places, just things you have, stuff. They break down. And then you worry. You worry. You worry. When can I fix this? When can the repairman come? When can I do this? We all deal with it. But yet God's saying right here, Jesus is saying, seek my kingdom. You know, it's good to have stuff. The Bible says it's great to have stuff. But if you're living for your stuff, when that stuff breaks down, you just start worrying about it. But when you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when that stuff breaks down, it's like, hey, I can fix it later. It's not a high priority. It's okay. Why should I worry about this type of stuff? You know, luckily, I was taught all these things as a child. Wish I always applied it. And my car, I love my car, and I walked out there one day, and someone, you know, just ran a key all the way down the car. And you look at it, and it's like, someone asked, did you get mad? It's like, no. And they're like, why didn't you get mad? And I'm like, it's a car. You know, it gets me from place A to B, and it has some nice features. But if someone scratches my car, I'm not going to freak out about it because it's just something I have. But now, so many people I see, something breaks, something wrong happens, and they just totally freak out. They don't know what to do. They start worrying. And God says, don't worry. If your eyes are on my kingdom, if your eyes are bringing people to church, seeing people get saved, if your eyes are on living pure lives, if you're living to help people, then when things go wrong, don't worry. Don't worry at all. Seek the kingdom. Don't let worry rob you of today's joy, for today you will have enough trouble without adding worry. Jesus didn't say we're going to live a carefree, happy life where nothing goes wrong. No, things go wrong all the time. But he says don't add to those troubles by worrying about it. I love what Paul says here. This is from the New Century Version. Paul says, do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is a promise. God will provide our needs. We just need to stop worrying about it. And finally, our progression of thought. Jesus' main point is, because God provides for you, do not worry, and in faith, seek his kingdom. Because God provides for you, do not worry, and in faith, seek his kingdom. And if you're taking notes, they put a little slash, not my own. Once you stop seeking your own kingdom, then you can serve the king. I always look at people and I see people come through with sports. I see people come through different jobs. And I'm always amazed how many people will put what they're doing, their sporting events, they will put their job, they'll put a family reunion all before church. And that's building their kingdom. It's all about them. They're not here to worship God. They're like, God, you're great, but this kingdom over here is more important. Where if we want to seek the kingdom, you're studying, you're reading, you're seeking God's will, you're fasting, you're praying, and you really have a heart for God. And God says, when you seek me, do not worry. I will provide. Progression of thought. Because God provides for you, do not worry and seek his kingdom. So let's answer those questions we started with. I hope you really think about this. What does it mean to worry? It means to be torn apart. And basically, it's a sin because it's the opposite of faith. So next time you worry, think of that picture of that horse and remember the thought of someone being tied to it and just pulling that person apart. Because if you keep worrying about that, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to be pulled apart in your mind. You're going to be severed from faith and you're just going to have troubles. Why should I not worry? Jesus said, because God will provide. So in faith, I trust that fact. I want you guys to read that. Because God will provide. So in faith, I trust this fact. Go ahead and say that. Remember that. Just remember that. So when you're worried about something, just remember what God will do. And finally, how can I keep from worrying? Set my eyes of faith on the kingdom of God and obeying Jesus. This will remove all my worries because life becomes more about Jesus' kingdom and not mine. Set my eyes of faith, what I do, what I think, on the kingdom of God and obeying Jesus, his righteousness. This will remove my worries because life becomes about Jesus' kingdom. Not my own. I really want all of you to think about that. Take some time, ponder that, meditate on that. Think about, am I building my kingdom? Once again, the Bible says it's great to have stuff, but you can't let your money own you. You can't let your cars, your homes, your relationships, whatever you're in, you can't let that own you, or you won't be able to seek the kingdom of God. All right. Closing thought. My closing thought. I was thinking about what to say. How to sum this all up. And when you don't know, when you're looking for the right words, I always learn, look to the poets. Poets, songwriters, they just know how to communicate. And Michael Card, who I believe is one of the best Christian writers I know of, just his doctrine's amazing. He wrote a song right on this passage. And he sums this passage up beautifully in a song on his new album on the Book of Matthew, A Gift to Believe. And just think about these words as we close. Jesus said, do not worry about what you eat and wear. If you will seek the kingdom, if you will forget your fear, just look at the birds. I clothe them and feed them, and like them, I want you to be. Faith is the gift to believe. Each day is full of trouble. I want you to bring them to me. I am your great provider. I know your every need. Look at the lilies. They never labor. Yet, what a splendor to see. Faith is the gift to believe. And he ends by saying, and this is worth writing down, this is something I actually memorized, worry can never provide or add a day to your life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and you will have all you ever need. Faith is the gift to believe. That beautifully sums it up. Faith, if you have faith, you won't worry. If you have worry, it kills your faith. So this week, you're going to walk out this door in a couple minutes. You're going to have lunch, and you're going to have some choices. You have the will to say, I'm not going to worry. Or you're going to say, great pastor, I love that. I love that sermon. Great. And you're going to go, and something's going to happen today, and you're going to worry. As soon as you walk out that door, you have to make the commitment. Am I going to walk in faith, or am I going to worry? My words will not convince you. Even the words of Jesus, they might convince you, but you might not change your life. So when you walk out that door, I really want you, after you shake pastor's hand, as you walk out that door, say, am I going to worry, or am I going to walk in faith? It's up to you. God says, I'll provide. You just have to trust me. So I really want to leave you with that thought. When you walk out the door, are you going to apply and not worry? Or are you going to just worry about everything? Let's close in prayer.